Homo Lab.
Hey guys, hi. Hey. Welcome to Homo Lab 104.
Wow.
I know, right? Lucho is here.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here. I'm Balin.
And Jen is here.
Jen
as well.
Brister is here.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, Amy's not here.
She's in America.
She's doing American things with American people in America.
We don't actually know what she's doing.
No, and I did ask you.
Probably eating.
You need to qualify that.
You definitely need to qualify that.
Everybody in America, that's all you do in America, that's all you can do is eat and drive. Eat or drive.
And shop.
And shop.
And shop, that's true. Have I noticed any Twitter from Amy about what she's been doing? No.
Niner.
So we literally have no idea what Amy's doing there. We assume that it's just personal reasons.
Seeing relatives. Has she got a new niecey, nephew thing?
Maybe she's back there to
niecey,
vote.
Niecey, nephew thing?
Niecey, nephew thing.
You mean like something was born?
I think something was born.
Yeah. A niece was born.
Okay. A niece.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, on this episode of Homo Lab, not only are we going to be catching up with the latest news and gossip, we are also going to be speaking to Louise Orwin. She has made quite a media storm surrounding her because she's got a show called Pretty Ugly, which is a trend, apparently, for young girls to post videos of themselves on YouTube or other social media and then ask people to vote whether they're pretty or whether they're ugly. This is all part of a festival called Calm Down, Dear, a festival of feminism that's happening at the Camden People's Theatre this month. So we're going to catch up with her, find out about the show, and also find out about what it was like to be caught up in such a media firestorm. She's been on all the major networks here. She's been on morning shows in America. And I say, that's no bad thing for a one-woman show. Could we make that happen for you,
oh,
maybe,
God,
Jen?
if I could just get on Woman's Hour, that would be it for me.
Have you ever been on Woman's Hour?
No. Jenny Murray.
Jenny Murray, that's it.
That's
she's my favourite one.
Yeah, I like Jenny, and just because she's...
What would you be on Woman's Hour for?
I'd probably just be on
woman?
For being a woman.
Yeah, right.
I think if you own a woman's part...
Okay, is that enough?
I think that should be enough. Also, I mean, come on, I do stuff. What do I do?
You do stuff. You do
I'm
stand
on here,
up.
And I do yeah. stand up and stuff. I mean, I do shows. I go to Edinburgh. I do things.
Just shopping, gardening, cooking.
I don't. No, none of those things.
That's misogynistic to ask.
And
those
actually,
questions
right,
in this
Lucia,
day and age.
Get out. Oh. Do you know if Jenny heard this, she'd be appalled.
Do you know? I
she'd
always
lop
thought,
it off for you.
Whenever I was working at what's it called? New Broadcasting House. Jenny Murray would always kind of be sat outside at this. I think it was kind of a Turkish restaurant that we would frequent, but she would always be kind of on the pavement, still with the glasses,
on a chair.
With the chain. Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine Jenny Murray just sitting with a mint tea.
But you know those London cafes where they don't really have an outdoor space, but they just pop some tables up on the pavement and maybe put a plant out. It's that type of place. And Jenny Murray would always be sat there with a glass of wine and her glasses on a chain. And I would just always think, oh, Jenny Murray, are you done or are you actually going to work after that glass of wine? Because I like you more either way.
I'd love it if Jenny Murray was slightly pissed on the job. That would be great. She's quite passive-aggressive and judgy. And I just think with an extra couple of drinks
down
there.
She's judgy.
Oh.
Isn't it, what, 10, 11 o'clock Women's Hour?
You can't it's be 10.
Pissed at, you can't be pissed at 10 in the morning.
Yes, you
no,
can.
You, no, you can't.
Yes,
no.
You can.
No, you can't.
You can.
Well, yeah. Yes, but it's not a good look.
Well, no.
I could quote a few DJs who I know have a little tipple in the morning, but I won't because it's libelous.
You know, sometimes you have to just around the edges off. Just to grind down the sharp edges, just so you can get on with your day.
For radio?
For life.
Do you know
for
what?
Life, Jen.
Do you know what?
I'm a little drunk right now.
I wish I was.
Ben has his hip flask with him.
I don't. But anyway, so what have you been up to, Jen, since we saw you last? You've been gigging loads, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been on the road. Oh, God. What was that? That sounded good. And my voice is gone. And I had a cold. And
oh, this is all sounding great.
I think it's really hard. Look, I tell you what, you rock up to what is in effect a canteen in Southend with a cold, by the way, and try and make a load of Essex people laugh. It's hard. I've got to tell you.
Southend, that put me off. Just that word.
What, Southend?
Just that word.
Canteen put me off. When I turned up, I was like, is a gig happening here? And they said, yeah. I said, okay, great. Is there ever going to be a stage? They went, oh, do you need a stage? I went, I just thought...
Maybe you could have just gone around each table as people were eating and just told a couple of knock-knock jokes.
Oh, Jesus, I really wish something I could like have. Something like that. I really wish I could have.
I don't know how you stand-up comics do it. I really don't know how you do it because, I mean, just with what I do, sometimes, I lose the will to live when I see the venue or the crowd or something. And I just think, at least I'm behind a DJ booth playing records as opposed to, like, laying my soul on the line to make people laugh.
Oh, my God. I really lost the will to live. And then I kind of ended up running the gig for them, which was really annoying because I was only supposed to be emceeing it. And then we got lights in the interval. And then the lights... set themselves alight because they'd put the gels too close to the lights. The lights started to smoke. I went, just to point out that the lights were on fire. They went, are they? I said, yeah, that's the smoke billowing from the lights.
Balin's kind of trying to get into lighting, so maybe you could go down to Southend, sort it out.
I'm never going back there. I just want to make that clear.
I'm kind of trying to get into lighting.
Well, you're kind of doing
trying
lighting.
To get into lighting. It's my new thing.
Are you joking?
No, I'm retraining to be a lighting designer.
Is this a thing?
Mm. Oh, it's totally a thing, yeah.
Oh, my God, I thought that maybe...
You should see our house.
Taking, what is... Well, you've got, like, sort of what, Christmas lights everywhere and...
Well, there are some fairy lights.
Some fairy lights up. Yeah, what else do you
It's very well lit. It's nothing to do with me. Sparkles. I come in, put on the big light.
Yeah, Lucio just puts on an overhead light.
No.
Meanwhile, I've got, I've got hidden lighting, I've got up lighting, I've got... Back lighting,
different coloured lighting, multicoloured lighting.
I've got lights that I can control with my iPhone.
What is wrong with you?
Because I love it.
Just lights?
Just light in general. I love the way that light can totally change the atmosphere of a place or can make you focus on one thing instead of another. Or if you're lazy and haven't cleaned and you're having guests around, how dim lighting can make your place look amazing.
Oh, yeah, dim lighting really works. We've got a lot of that at home. Hey, I know the word for a light, Fresnel. You can have that.
Oh, that's
take it
true.
With you.
That
take
is...
that with you.
I'm going to write that down.
Write
do you know
that
the
down.
Symbol for it?
No. Okay. Oh, I do. Hang on. Is it square with an X in it?
Yeah, it's good. That's very good. You know more than you
high
thought you
five
did.
Oh my myself. God.
I
that's from working in the theatre.
Completely lost now. No idea what either you're talking about.
I think everyone else is shut down.
Yeah. Shall we have some news from our friends at Gay Star News?
Yes.
Let's do that. I've got lots of exciting news.
Homo.
Lab.
Homo.
Lab.
Portia de Rossi has opened up.
She's a lesbian.
I mean, she is.
Yeah.
And when lesbians open up, that's always interesting. And she's talking about her life before she came out and married Ellen DeGeneres, because obviously before that, life was grim.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
She was a very successful actor. Yes, she was possibly one of the more successful comedy series of the 90s, Ally McBeal, and yet unhappy. And why?
Why? Because she was a trapped lesbian.
She was trapped.
Right.
She was trapped by her own lesbianity. And she says here... that she didn't want to be a lesbian, she says, because I'd never met one and I thought they were strange and they hated men and they were very serious and had these ridiculous images in my head and there were no out celebrities. Well, actually, Portia, I think you've hit lesbians on nail on the head there. I think that is what... Anyway, and then so that's why she stayed in the closet. And then she, one day, she came out in 2005 because she couldn't handle the fact she was so unhappy.
Basically, what she's saying is, until it became a little bit cooler and trendier... She couldn't be bothered having
Portia,
hot girl on girl.
So
did she come out? Was Ellen her first, like coming out to be with Ellen? Was that how? Because you know Ellen has a bit of a history of this because her
what lesbianism?
Well, her first girlfriend.
She has been a lesbian for a while.
Anne Heche was completely
That's
straight.
That's not her first girlfriend.
Well, not her first girlfriend, but the first girlfriend that we knew about, right, in the public eye. Anne Heche was completely straight until she got with Ellen.
And
then
weirdly,
was with Ellen
again.
For quite a while and is now completely straight again.
Yeah, didn't she say she was abducted by aliens during that period?
Anne
and that's
Heche
why
is
she was
a little,
lesbian.
Yeah, Anne Heche is a little interesting, I think. She also, wasn't she caught, like, naked walking down the street in Arizona, like, looking for aliens or something as well? That might be litigious. That might not be true, but it's something very similar to that.
I mean, it's perfectly fine in Arizona, where it's very hot, to walk down the street naked, and there have been sightings of aliens in Arizona, so why not do that?
So, anyway, so there's Portia de Rossi. She's very unhappy about being a lesbian because it's not cool. Not like now, where everyone wants to be a lesbian.
She can't be unhappy about being a lesbian now.
No, she's really happy. So then what happened was that she had an eating disorder and then she planned to start dating once she saved enough money. What? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, yeah, to live a more secluded life because, you know, working on Ally McBeal, she couldn't save enough.
No.
It was really tough.
I think that's probably going out with Ellen combined with an Ally McBeal salary, it's probably enough to have a secluded life now.
Yeah, you'd think. Anyway, so she started to eat again, and then she came out. And ever since then, she's been happy.
Has she got a book out or something?
God, Jesus, that was boring. I don't know why I bothered telling you about that. Portia de Rossi was miserable, came out, now she's happy. Isn't that everyone? Wow.
Is this a book?
No, this is an interview that she had. I think she doesn't talk about being a lesbian much. I think because Ellen does it for her. So there we go.
Well, you know, if you are married to Ellen and you're a woman, you probably have to mention that you're a lesbian that often.
No, exactly.
You're quick.
I think that is all I have to say about. And the only other thing is that she had this interview. Do you remember Amanda Zacadney?
Oh God, yeah.
The interview was with her.
Is Amanda Zacadney a lesbian?
No. Well, I used to wish she was when she presented the word.
I don't know who Amanda Zacadney is.
Oh, she was one that didn't have a shaved head. That was Hofty.
So Eminem's back on the scene. You may have noticed. Have you noticed? I've only noticed because there are lots of posters in the tube for Eminem, but I don't think I've actually heard any of his new stuff. And he recently...
I heard it on like One Extra when I was listening.
What are you doing listening to One Extra?
I put it on wrong. And
I'm trying to find Radio 4.
and it's I think it's homophobic. I don't care what he says. I think it's homophobic.
Well, this is the thing, because he uses faggot quite a lot, as he always has. And of course, he's been asked about this again, and he has said, look, I don't know how many times I can say this. Like, for me, that word, I never identified it as being about gay people. It was like, you know, bitch or punk or something like that. It was just a put down that in the rap battles, it was just something that we always said. And he said, you know, and yes, people, you know, I don't know how many times I can say it, but people who know me obviously know that I don't have an issue with gay people whatsoever. I've spoken out for gay marriage. I don't have this issue. It's just kind of part of the persona and something that I've always used. So I'm not homophobic. Now, I've always stood on the side of I don't think faggot should be used. I have an issue with that Pogues and Kirsty MacColl.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Song, you know, I don't. I think they were
talking about actual faggots, though, weren't they?
Mm. I don't. The meat
minced,
product.
Minced offal.
No, I'm sure they weren't. I think there is. It's a difficult one. The only thing is like it's kind of irrelevant what his intention is in a way if his audience are interpreting it.
Yeah.
Well, is that the issue? This is it.
Because Louis C.K. has the same thing, doesn't he? Because he uses the word faggot, and he said, look, and he actually has it in his show, Louis, where they're playing a card game, and with all the other comics, one comic there is gay, and he's trying to explain to him why saying faggot on stage is wrong. And but he still uses it.
I have a real issue with the use of it. I mean, I know that it's a bit more harsh in America that word than it is here, but it still means the same thing, really, doesn't it? Except we don't have the meat product in America. But anyway, Rizzle Kicks, who is probably our favorite hip-hop band and act at the moment.
That's how cool we are.
Yeah, I didn't even know who they were.
Oh, Rizzle Kicks are great. They're super great.
Down with the trumpets.
But they've actually come out and not come out, sorry, that could be a headline right there.
They've come out.
They have said that they can't listen to hip-hop at the moment. They really struggle with it. And they were asked about Eminem's use of the word fag and faggot in his songs. And one of them said, well, turns of phrase take a while to die out, but when it's vicious, I don't understand why you'd bother. Think of something more inventive to say. It's a cultural thing that needs to piss off, basically. So if you didn't like Rizzle Kicks before, that's yet another reason to like.
Ireland is going to vote on gay marriage in a referendum in 2015. It's going to be held in 14 months' time, so right at the start of the year. And the Prime Minister is set to back same-sex marriage in the referendum. And Justice Minister Alan Shatter is also going to be bringing a memo to Cabinet. And he's declared 2014 will be a referendum-free year due to fatigue amongst the public. So originally this vote was going to come sooner, but they think they've had so many referendums in Ireland that basically turnout might be really low, and that could enable, say, an organised religious group of people,
to influence
it unduly if there's a low turnout. So it looks like there is going to be gay marriage or a referendum on gay marriage in 2015. Earlier this year, a survey showed that 73% of Irish people agreed that same-sex marriage should be allowed in the Constitution. I think the big question here is, whether civil rights issues of gay rights, is that, which I think it is, should be up for populist vote. I think, you know, there's an advantage in one aspect in that if the majority of people vote for it, then it goes through. But, you know, what happens if 51% of people say that everybody that's left-handed shouldn't, you know, have any rights?
Yeah, but referendums aren't, you know, whether a referendum is won or lost, it's not going to, I mean, it will slow things down, but it's not going to stop what is a civil rights movement and will eventually, it will eventually happen. It has to.
Because, yeah, of course. I mean, if history's taught us anything, it's that.
Yeah,
right?
it's that. So, I think referendums are always, you know, they're a good thing in fact, that democracy in action, but then sometimes I think maybe some people shouldn't have the vote, do you know what I mean? Oh, that sounds terrible. Can we edit that out?
No, I think that's fine.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a really complex issue. It's like, should you be voting about it when you have a very reactionary, sort of simplistic view on what is actually a really important issue?
Benign dictatorship of people that are vaguely left-wing is, you know, far superior.
We're going to have to get Russell Brand on the show and really kick this out and kick this one in the tits, aren't we?
Hey, how do you feel, Jen, as a lesbian, and the only lesbian on the show at the moment, about Candy Bar closing, London's only lesbian bar?
Oh, well, if that was London's only lesbian bar,
where do lesbians go?
Well, no, listen, because we need
to
discuss this.
Go to our local vegetarian cafe.
Because the Rachie J, who follows us on Twitter at Homolab, has said, you know, what do we think about this? So, what do you think about it? Is it that there are no lesbian bars anywhere? We've talked about it before, but we never come to an answer.
I think that it's just a reflection of what exists in society. I think most big business, most successful, particularly in Soho, are run by men. Because the rent is really high. You need to have some bloody money behind you to survive. And I think there have been a number of different leisure bars that have existed over the years since I've been living in London. Well, that's all my life, so I don't know what I'm... Since I've been a lesbo. I think they're always in competition with each other. So Candy Bar will exist. There was a bar in just on Essex Road years ago. They got into competition. Then that one sort of disappeared. Then another one will pop up. There used to be a leisure bar on Stoke Newton High Street. Then that disappeared. It's because rather than all of us supporting each other and looking after each other, we kick each other in the boobs and try to crush the other person.
Where would you go? Just supposing it was something you wanted to celebrate. You had an amazing run of shows and you said, hey, girlfriends, let's all go out. And where are we going to go? Well, where would you go? What would you do? What do lesbians do?
What do lesbians do? If I ever call them girlfriends, they would probably think I'd had a lobotomy.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't know. I mean, now I want to sit down. Do you know what I mean? I want to have a little cheeky sit down. I probably would find a bar I could do that, and I wouldn't care if it was gay or straight.
Right.
So, but there aren't any leisure bars that I go to anymore. I mean, if I want a late night drink, sometimes I go to the Soho Theatre bar because it's open late and it's, you know. I'll know people in there.
Yeah, I don't know, because like gay bars are thriving. There's like, you know, loads of gay bars, more are opening up still.
You guys always have the best of everything.
Oh, you.
That's because we all keep working. We're all bloody social workers and wondering.
But maybe is it because gay guys, like, you know, you can go to, we do go to, you know, local pubs or whatever. But there's sometimes where you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe a little drink and maybe a little bit of eye flirty. And I don't know,
I think it's about, without sounding too 1950s about it, it's about kind of being with your own kind sometimes. I mean, you know, obviously we go to all sorts of places and loads of straight places and loads of this and that. But yeah, every now and again, if you want to have a drink, it's sometimes just fun to go to a gay bar.
An old boy bar, yeah.
Yeah, and so I would imagine, why is it not the same for girls?
No, it is. I think, but again, I go back to what I said before. I think just, you know, gay men and lesbians, it's a direct reflection of what you see in society, is that men have a much more, you know... In society, men tend to have better positions in jobs, tend to earn more money. If you think about it, gay men don't tend to have much of a disposable, you know, have a larger disposable income, I should say. Gay women tend to earn less money, have a lower disposable income, still start families, and so aren't setting up bars and aren't creating venues. And straight men and gay men aren't thinking, God, what do the lesbians need? We really ought to set up a bar for those ones. No one, you know, so if gay women aren't going to do it for themselves, then it's not going to happen. And until you get some really successful lesbian businesswomen who want to invest money in something that could go under, you know, Because also the thing with lesbians is we'll go to bars up until a certain point, then we'll meet a girlfriend, and then we never leave the house ever again.
Right.
So it's not like you boys where you're like, hey, I'm 68, let's go. let's go and see what
why
I can
look at
is
me
out
when
there.
You said
I don't
that.
Know, Bailey, and I just had that.
But yeah,
you just
I suppose
see my peripheral vision.
That is also, I mean, obviously, anybody when they get into a relationship, they go out less than they do when they're single. But is it true that gay men in a relationship go out more than lesbians in a relationship?
I'm going to make a massive, huge, awful generalization and say that in some cases, in more cases, I would say yes. I'm sure there are lots of gay male couples who are very happy in their slippers watching telly, but I do think, you know, gay women, there's more of us staying at home once we've settled down. And so
in society, though, in general, there's, you know, that that thing of the, you know, the guy goes out to work and, you know, goes to the pub and the wife's at home, you know, cooking the tea and all that. And is that generalization actually kind of, I don't know, true in some way? Is that
no,
like, is it all down to that?
I don't think it's that. I just think that, and I don't think it's about women going, yeah, I just prefer the kitchen. I think we, you know, as we get older, you know, we head into our 40s and we're content and we've got a partner. It's like, I could go to the pub, but I could just open a bottle of wine at home, you know. Mm. I think it's more that. And also, most lesbians, when we get to a certain age, we're not like, God, I can't wait to look at some really young girl with a fucking asymmetric haircut. And no, I'm not, you know, I think that's it. And and also, a lot of lesbians tend to have, you know, will have, a lot of lesbians will have families as well, will have kids, will have, you know, and will have, and whereas there's still lots of gay male couples who it's much harder for them to start a family, so don't have children or don't want children.
Taking G all the time.
Hey, if yeah. I said leser, would that be offensive?
If you said leser?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe to some lesbians. I mean, I say leser all the time. Maybe I've offended somebody, but
Well, no, that's why I wonder, because I always think leser, I always think, oh, if I said leser, I think I'd get in trouble for that. I mean, obviously, you could say it because you are one.
I think it depends who you're saying it to. I think if you're saying it, if you were on Woman's Hour calling lesbians lesers,
yeah.
You might get into trouble.
But
if you're like, we've got this leser on the show, Jen Brister, I would be fine about it.
Well, listen, we would love to know what you think about this, not just about the term leser, and for that matter, faggot, but also, you know, why don't gay women go out? What is it about that? You can let us know.
Our Twitter feed's going to be amazing.
Oh, my God, I'm going to lose so many followers from this. Oh, well, you might not go out, Brister, but I'm out every night taking, was it G, F, D? I don't know.
Well, we want to know. We are on Twitter. We are at Homolab, or you can go to homolab.com or email us hello@homolab. And that is our gay star news.
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab.
Okay, it's time for the entertainment, culture, and arts section, you two.
Okay.
Balin, I would rate you as moderately attractive.
No, that's not what this. Okay, that's that's hurtful, and I will take that.
I rate. Jen as really attractive.
Oh, thanks, Lucio.
And rate myself as
hot.
Really hot. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what this is about. I told you earlier we're going to be talking to Louise Orwin. She is part of the Feminism Festival, Calm Down, Dear, which is taking place at the Camden People's Theatre all month long. She has a show called Pretty Ugly, where she did exactly that. She posted videos of herself posing as three different characters, I suppose, and ask people to vote online whether they thought she was pretty or whether they thought she was ugly. This is because it is currently a trend to do just that amongst teenage girls. So I sat down at Camden People's Theatre and I had a chat with her about it.
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab. I came across one day on Tumblr a little video of quite a young girl who was sort of looking very earnestly into the camera. She seemed quite young, and she was asking viewers whether she was pretty or ugly, and sort of oversharing quite a lot, you know, talking about her boyfriend and her friends at school and wondering why she couldn't work out for herself, whether she was good looking or not. And yeah, at the end of the video, she says, am I pretty or ugly? Comment down below and subscribe whilst you're at it. And I was just like really struck by this video. I was just really struck by the kind of language she used, how earnest she was. To me, it seemed strange that she was being so serious about it. But then the other thing that really was even sort of more exciting and horrifying for me was the fact that when I clicked on the YouTube link, I could see all these other related videos, and there were just hundreds and thousands of them.
So it's a thing, like, yeah, it's a thing. Pretty or ugly.
Mm-hmm. My experiment, which I'll explain to you what I did, was the results of that were pretty bad, basically. So I'm presenting you the results from my experiment, and, I mean, on the face of those results, yeah, I'm presenting that trend, that YouTube trend, in a bad light because, yeah, what happened to me over the last year wasn't good. So I do worry for these teenage girls that do it. I mean, I'm trying not to be a complete sort of dinosaur and Luddite, you know, and I realise that this is a new generation and they're growing up with technology in a different way to the way we grew up with it. And so I think they're moving just as quickly as it's moving. So, yeah, I do appreciate that, but at the same time, yeah, I don't think this is a good thing at all.
It's kind of an extension of, I mean, because these things have been around for quite a while, whether you want to look at it as beauty pageants or...
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there were all these things, rate my tits, rate my dick, and people were posting pictures of themselves online and having people vote on it. So in this... Do you think it's more damaging because they're young?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember, like, Hot or Not being around when I was in my early 20s, but I think the thing that really struck me about this trend is that a lot of the girls are between the ages of, like, 8 and 13, and I feel like that's just... I just feel like that's quite damaging to a young person's mind because, I mean, the comments that they get are just... Well, I mean, it's no surprise to anyone, the kind of comments they get. I mean, we all know YouTube comments like the gutter of society.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think, like, when I posted my own videos, to a certain extent, yes, I could separate the comments, my experiment, be sort of objective about it. But at the same time, when there's someone telling you, your nose is too big, your eyes are too close together, you know, you have a weird lisp when you talk, blah, 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 blah. That's that's someone, like, really picking apart your face. And that's like, well, maybe my eyes are too close together, you know.
And, you know, and this is coming from somebody who, you know, isn't 8 to 20 and who is doing it for a reason and probably has more self-confidence than some of the girls that are posting on there. I mean, obviously, nobody posts on there wanting to be told that they're ugly. Mm. I would assume that most people post wanting kind of some sort of validation. Confirmation or validation or reassurance that actually they're okay. And the internet's probably not the best place to find that, is it?
And I think that's the thing that really I was just really surprised by, because when I sort of look at these girls, I feel like they're a sort of new generation of, like, cyber pioneers and probably in some way a lot more savvy about the internet than their parents are. So I find it really surprising, because I'm sure they must know what they're opening themselves up to. I mean, there have been some people in America who've been commenting on the trend saying that it's a new sort of form of self-harm. I'm not sure I'm totally sold on that, but I don't have any answers as to why they're doing it, but I don't know. I just had to ask why. That's why I had to do my experiment, because I just felt like I wanted to step into the shoes of these girls, see what it was like, see what happened. And, yeah, the things that happened to me over the last year were just more... I mean, there were things that happened which I could have predicted, but there were other things that happened which really surprised me. And I'm a 26-year-old young woman, and I got affected by it. So if you're a 13-year-old girl, what's that going to do to you?
Okay, so pretty ugly. It runs until... Give us all the details so people can come see it if you want.
So it runs until 9th November. It's a really fun, kind of dark, surreal one-woman show. It's only an hour long. You can find tickets on the CPT Camden People's Theatre website. And, yeah, you should come.
Great. Well, thank you, and good luck with it all.
Thank you.
Ho, Mo.
Lab.
Ho,
Mo.
Lab.
So there you go. If you want to see that, all the details are in there, or you can go on to the Camden People's Theatre website and get tickets or find out more about that. I think it actually sounds really interesting.
I think it sounds great. I'm also really jealous that she thought of that.
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, it's also a girl thing as well. Mm. I don't think boy. I mean, as I pointed out in that interview, there's always, you know, rape my cock and all of those sorts of things, which is different because that's a body part that you can detach. You can't detach it. Actually,
I mean, I haven't been near one for a while, but if I'd known you could detach it, I would have suggested that at the beginning of the night.
The ones you use are detachable.
Oh yeah, mine is. Mine's under the bed.
No, what I mean is like you can, like that's, you know, it's
hide. Different. You can hide it.
Yeah, it can just be that body part. It's not your face. It's not kind of necessarily what your self-worth, you know, is tied to, although I suppose
I
for some people
say,
it is.
It probably is for some. I mean, depending what, if you're, you know, if it's not very big, maybe it is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's different though than your face. I mean, it's obviously different.
You're saying
than your
that your face is like your self-worth as well. That's not the case.
Yeah, well, clearly I need to go see this show then, don't I? Because I'm pretty sure your face is... No, I'm not. I mean, anyway, another theatre thing that you might want to go and check out, Rosie Wilby, who we have on this show sometimes, who also is a
comic. Comedian.
She's a stand-up comedian. She's a performer. She's a writer. And we've talked about this show before. It's coming back. It's called Is Monogamy Dead? And it's basically asking that question, you know, is there room for monogamy in today's society? She's going to be in Brighton at the Duke Box Theatre on the 23rd of November. So you can go to wegottickets.com to get tickets for that, because I think that's a rather interesting discussion to have as well. And that's pretty much all the arts and culture I've got for you two.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, do you have anything? Oh, that's it.
No,
you're not
never has
to
arts
anything.
Or culture.
No, okay.
So I did something arty and cultural.
What?
Give I it. Went to the East End of London on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, we were all over the East End, like a rash on
which
Saturday
part
night.
Of the East End? Whitechapel
all
Way,
over.
Or?
We were in Shoreditch, and then we went to Old Street.
Okay, so next door to each other.
Yes.
Basically,
the Georgian Dragon to the...
The Georgian Dragon. So you went on a pub crawl. That's what you did.
To
a load of gay
East
bars.
Box.
Yeah,
yes.
You went to two gay bars. I don't think that counts as arts and culture.
Cultural, my butt cheeks. I saw something, but it was a while ago. I'm not sure it's not relevant anymore.
Okay, well, thanks for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
Well, listen, hey, Jen, thanks for sitting in for Amy LeMay.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
We don't actually know when she's back, so you might be here next week as well. Do we? Any of us know where?
Well,
she's
you might
down?
Not be, depending on the Twitter furor or
well, no, listen, I'll take it.
I think I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the answer.
So listen, Amy always says we've been the queers in your ears. So you want to say that?
Yeah, I mean, this will be the first time I've said it. It might seem a bit disingenuous. We've been the queers in your ears.
Yeah, different intonation than Amy, but that's fine. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Lucio. I've been Baylin. You've been great. Don't forget, you can always get in contact with us at Homolab. Have a fantastic week. Stay warm, stay dry, and we'll see you next week.
Stay warm,
stay
dry. I don't know what that's
sorry.
Homolab.
Homolab.